we supposed to get married?
I'm going
to
just swipe
I just want somebody to share my life.
I had been fed an incorrect idea of what love is.
You can keep waiting for the fairy tale, or you can get on board with the new rules of relationships. If you've read my advice in the LA Times, then you know this ain't your mama's love advice. This is Dates and Mates with Damona Hoffman.
Hello, lovers. What a special yet interesting week. It is Thanksgiving here in the United States this week. Unlike most years, many of you may be having a different kind of Thanksgiving, maybe a Friendsgiving, maybe a long distance giving. But we are all being called right now to flip our perspective on a few things. And same is happening in my neck of the woods. A few weeks ago, I got a tweet from someone who was, let's say, not a fan. And usually I try not to overthink the criticism I receive, but this person was really, they just really had to let me know that they were really against online dating, like really, really anti-online dating. So I tried to look at it from different perspectives, and I thought, I need to address this stigma that online dating may or may not still hold, because I've been in this space for 17 years. I met my husband online 17 years ago, and there was definitely a stigma back then, but I'm interested in how it has shifted, changed, or maybe remained the same in recent years. And there was only one person I could think of to talk to me about this journey of online dating, and that is my husband, Seth. I convinced my very favorite person to come into the studio, and let me tell you, he is a major introvert, so this is a huge deal for him, but I really thought that he had an important perspective to share on how online dating is definitely the right choice for modern love in my book and in his and hopefully in yours. Plus, it's my birthday week, so he had to say yes. But first, of course, I have to get you up to speed on the headlines. Even though it's a holiday, the news just keeps on coming. You know it's No Shave November, but do you know, is it improving or hurting the chance of love for guys that wear their beards out? Also, what you should be asking to know if your date is COVID safe before you go out, and why being ghosted in a pandemic is so much harder than before. Those are the headlines this week. It's a thought-provoking week here on Dates and Mates. And now let's dish.
D's Dating Dish.
Dating.com did a survey for No Shave November, and it turns out, despite what popular dating experts might say, it's not hurting men's chances at love. Now, I kind of poke fun at the fact that some of you know who've been listening to the show for a long time, I am not a fan of beards. And I'm sure there are some bearded men listening to this right now that are like, come on, Damona, why can't bearded men have the love? Well, now you can. And especially with No Shave November upon us, you really have no choice. Whatever charity you are supporting, you know, for those who don't know, No Shave November, you grow out your beard for a charity all month and then you shave. But maybe you shouldn't shave, because according to dating.com survey, 86% of singles enjoy facial hair on men and feel that it makes them look more masculine and mature. And this was a crazy number. I thought, oh, like a couple people do No Shave November. We're all kind of aware of it, but is it really a thing? According to this dating.com survey, almost 60% of men shared that they were participating in No Shave November. But then it made me think, are we participating in No Shave November, or are we doing No Shave like the entire year? I know, look, I bought some more of my Old Navy stretch pants. Some of you saw on Instagram, I declared it is officially moo-moo season. So you do what you want to do, but I feel like I feel better when I put myself together a little bit. Of course, we have to be comfortable. We might have to wear stretch pants. We might have to wear muumuus. But if you're going on a date, at least just try. Just try your best. And there's definitely a difference between your I've given up kind of beard, and you're I'm deliberately, intentionally wearing a beard, and this is a statement, or this is an experiment for me to see if I will be perceived as more masculine and mature. Business Insider India shared some tips from a disease expert. I'm sorry to use the D word in this episode, but I want y'all to have the facts. This disease expert said there's a guide for which questions you should be asking before you go on a date right now. It's funny because I keep getting these questions from my clients. So clearly there is not a consensus on what you need to know before you decide to meet someone in a social distance setting or not in a social distance setting. So this expert said you should say, are you a careful person or a carefree person when it comes to the pandemic? I find that there's a big spectrum, though. There's a lot in between, because I would say I'm probably more careful than carefree, but I'm not too crazy in either direction. But this is a great one. Do you wear a mask while you're out? In many places, as we are approaching the second wave, I'm in California. We just got a mask mandate and a curfew, just to double down on that. So in other places, I know the attitudes are different. It's a little crazy to me to think about, like, what do you mean asking, do you wear a mask? It's not a choice here. But in places where it is a choice, you definitely should be asking that. I thought this one was cute. How aware are you of social distancing? If you are living in 2020 and you are not aware of social distancing, that is an absolute swipe left, pass, do not pass, go, don't even bother. So clearly they have to be aware of social distancing. It's more like, do you respect social distancing? But these are the tougher questions. Have you been tested for COVID-19 for any reason? I've been tested many times for no reason, and also for work, for a TV show that I've been working on. But I think it's a good idea to know your status whenever you're going to be near others. Have you been near anyone who's tested positive for COVID-19? That's an important one. Do you take public transit, or do you go into an office for work? And if you want to go on an in-person date, make sure you ask them about their habits and their whereabouts and where they've been and whether you're on the same wavelength. This is so vitally important. And I'm not going to get up on a soapbox and try and become a COVID safety expert, but I think it's so important, especially where we are right now. And y'all have seen the graphs, and they do not look cute. If you do not want to be on that graph and part of that statistic, you need to take this seriously. And you need to be asking your dates these tough questions to protect yourself and your own safety. Okay, we're going to turn a corner. I think dating, when we get the vaccines, things will shift. But up until that point, there's so much that you can do to take responsibility for your own safety and to also think about it from the other person's perspective to maybe give them peace of mind that they're going to be safe when they're dating you. Our friends at wellandgood.com gave us the answer to the question why being ghosted in a pandemic is so much harder. According to a poll of over 1,000 people that the University of Phoenix and Harris Poll conducted, 41% of Americans are feeling lonelier than ever since the pandemic set in. And I know that it's not easy, and it's not getting any easier anytime soon. So what's happening is it's affecting people in different ways. And I've been doing this a long time, as you know, I've been coaching singles for a long time on online dating. And you have to consider, first of all, you're meeting strangers when you're dating online. So we don't have any context really to what else is going on in their life or the way they process information. And this article started out with a story of this person who had been dating someone, you know, for a few weeks, like to the point where they were bubbled. He was coming to her apartment, and then all of a sudden he just stopped texting. He just totally ghosted. And she started to send those texts, you know, those texts like, hey, are you okay? Which I never recommend sending. But look, in the middle of a pandemic, it's totally relevant. Are you okay? This guy could have been in the hospital. He could have been worse. She didn't know where he was or what had happened until she goes on Instagram and sees this fool doing backflips into the pool. And she knew, oh, he was alive and well. So that was certainly a blow to her. And I'm sure you can relate to what she was feeling. And if it's happened to you as well, whether you've been ghosted further down the line like she was, or even earlier in feeling like you've made a connection or you're texting someone and suddenly they go away, there's this bit of panic that I'm seeing set in, and anxiousness that's making people do weird things. So it's making, like, I was just swiping for a client the other day, and you know, I'll do the swiping, but then I have my clients are always the ones to do the communication. And this dude, in 24 hours, she hadn't responded because she hadn't logged in, and he started freaking out and sent like 6 messages. And it's not completely unusual that I would see that in non-pandemic times, but it felt a little bit more over the top. And the funny thing was, he wasn't the only one that did it. And it was just like the act of swiping that gave them the sense of interest that made them like go full on into this expectation or anticipation of what dating her might be like. So it's making people have this sort of anxious attachment, both in trying to move forward to getting someone in the bubble. But then a lot of people are panicking on the other side when things are moving along too quickly. I just heard from another client who seemed to be in a really successful relationship, and it's blossomed throughout the pandemic. But I'm also hearing from people who are in relationships or are in situationships, and they're feeling like their partners, like this woman in the article, are pulling away unexpectedly. And I just want to offer you compassion, and I want to offer you a tool to be able to forgive and release that person from the responsibility. And it can begin even just with writing a letter. Just write a letter of forgiveness to that person rather than chasing them down. Are you okay? Stalking them on social media, assuming they are still alive and well. See what would happen if you could just release them from the need to take care of your emotional needs, so that you can release yourself of that expectation and possibly open yourself up to the possibility that this person might not be right for you. But holding on to the idea or the pain of their unpredictability may keep you from being open to finding love with someone else again. Those are the themes of the week. I know it is a tough one for so many of you. So I'm sending out lots of love, lots of gratitude. I thank you for listening to the show, and I thank you for sticking with me through this break, because when I come back, I will be here with my person, Mr. Seth Hoffman. Welcome back. With no further ado and no need for smooches, because obviously they're implied, here I am with my husband, Seth Hoffman.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for being on the Dates and Mates podcast. Again, you're a repeat.
I'm a friend of the show.
That's what Drew says about me. Okay, so for our newer listeners, they might not know you. I talk about you all the time on the show, but I wanted them to know that you are a real person. And I think it's been, 7 years since you were on the show?
It's been a while.
I had your parents on like 3 years ago to celebrate their 50th anniversary. But it's been a while since you've been here. So tell everybody who you are and tell them what you do as well. That's kind of interesting.
My name is Seth Hoffman. I am Damona's husband. For work, I am a television writer specializing in 1-hour dramas.
I thought you were going to say like specializing in zombies and breaking out of prisons.
Zombies and irascible doctors and breaking out of prison. Yeah.
So yeah, that was a pop quiz. If you can figure out which shows he means, he's worked on The Walking Dead and House and Prison Break and a bunch of other stuff that maybe he doesn't want me to mention. I don't know. You
can. Those are the highlights of my IMDb page.
Yeah, everybody go check it out. I did try to make you claim me on IMDb, by the way.
You did.
I did. I claimed you. So you are claimed on my IMDb page. But when I go to your IMDb page, not for nothing, I'm not there.
I don't have much of a social media imprint of any sort. Are there people maintaining my IMDb page for me?
No, that's, I think, for you to do. I don't know. Talk to your people about it. I do my own. But you don't have any social media presence.
I was on Friendster. Well, Friendster was a thing in like 2005.
Were we Friendster friends? We must have been friends.
But what happened was I realized very quickly that I was addicted to it. It was kind of poison for me. And so when Facebook came out, I just knew it would be bad for me.
Yeah, I feel like it does add this other layer of pressure. In fact, I just got a question from a listener who was asking me about her boyfriend's social media dealings. So in this particular situation, she wasn't sure what a coworker's likes or emojis meant. And I feel like you can get really caught up trying to interpret different social media messaging and people's behavior online and extrapolate what that means. I'm curious, as somebody that is not on the socials, what you would say to that person if you think that's cause for alarm.
So you're saying, I want to make sure I understand the question. Somebody got like a text?
No, dear. Okay, so she is in a relationship with someone, mm-hmm. and saw that he recently became Facebook friends with a coworker, and she liked one of his posts with the heart emoji.
Oh.
And she wants to know if that's a red flag.
I mean, so not knowing anything about social, I think different emojis mean different things to different people. And so what's important is context and communication. So if that coworker is giving heart emojis away like candy and everybody gets a heart, then it doesn't mean anything. If not, then it might mean something, but as opposed to sort of playing detective about it. Like, I think this is a place where it comes back to communication and trust, where if you don't trust this person because they got a heart emoji from a coworker, maybe that's not the only reason why you don't trust them. Mm. And you should sort of examine that. You know, if I were on Facebook and saw that someone gave you a heart emoji, that wouldn't bother me in any way, because even if someone was romantically interested in you, I would trust that you wouldn't act on it.
Someone did slide in my DM the other day, yesterday. Yeah. I was trying to hook him up with a client. And then he was like, well, and if it doesn't work out, maybe I could take you. I give points for effort. Maybe we could have a drink. And I was like, oh, I don't think my husband would like that, but I appreciate the offer. But I mean, we do have also transparency. Like, I have access to your calendar. You have access to mine. And it's not because like I think people get sort of caught up in this idea of like, should you give your password to your partner? And it's just like you said, like just being having that level of trust, where also you can have communication around it, where if it makes you uncomfortable, you address that, because you could go way down the rabbit hole trying to social media sleuth and see if this girl is liking other people's pages and posting the same kind of emojis. It's like you could literally make yourself crazy, or you could just have a direct conversation with your partner and start it from a place of like, you know, it made me kind of feel uncomfortable when I saw that. Is this something that I should be worried about? And not from an accusatory space, but just like, this is my reaction. you know, I do feel like social media puts this pressure on relationships that maybe shouldn't be there, especially at the beginning. Just all of the nuances of like, when do we make it Facebook official? Or like, if you break up with somebody, then you have to erase their existence from your social media platform. And you don't have to worry about any of that because you're not on social.
Yeah, no, dating was sort of complicated enough for me. My personal dating and then our dating story is interesting in that respect. We met online sort of as online dating was really beginning to move from the fringes into sort of something more mainstream.
You think that, really?
Yeah.
No, I mean, there were not mainstream, Seth. We didn't even tell people that's how we met when we first
met. It wasn't like kind of in the dark corners of the internet. Like there was match.com. Yeah. There were like legit sites that would advertise on TV that it was a thing. Like my aunt, who, you know, was single until she was about 50, you know, would talk about what internet dating was like in the 90s. And that was felt like it was much more kind of the Wild West. You know, in Los Angeles, you could go online and meet lots of different people. Mm-hmm. Whereas, and they were people who were using online dating as a supplement, as opposed to kind of feeling like this was the only way that they could meet people.
Mm-hmm. What made you go online?
I was really nervous about it. So it wasn't, it certainly did still have a stigma, at least for me. And what made me go online was that one of my best friends, who throughout high school was always sort of the alpha of the group and the ladies' man, he said, you know, he told me over Christmas break when we were sort of back in the same town, he told me that he was starting to date online. And I was like, oh, wow. If there was no stigma for him, then maybe I should give it a try.
Yeah, I sort of had a similar experience. Like my boss at the time, she, who, you know, I really looked up to, and I was like, she's got it all. And she went through this divorce and she was like, I'm going on 2 dates a week. It's amazing, Damona. You have to get online. So I think by the time I met you, I had already been doing it for like 2 years. So I wasn't that, I don't know that I was nervous about it. I had a bit of a routine. I had a bit of a routine down. Actually, we should tell them how we chose our first date spot. So I lived in West Hollywood, which is about 45 minutes to an hour in traffic from where Seth lived, which is Santa Monica. And we were looking for, we had decided to meet and we were looking for a place.
And so I'm not the most social guy. So, you know, it's actually one of the reasons why internet dating, I think, really worked for me, that I could sort of, as opposed to meet someone at a bar and immediately kind of come up with the snappy thing to say or the thing that's going to draw someone's interest to me. You know, as a writer, I could sort of look at somebody's profile and really think about how, what I could write to make them potentially interested. But because I wasn't super social, you know, Damona, you said that you lived in West Hollywood and I knew one bar in West Hollywood. And so I floated that one.
Yeah. The problem was that was the bar that I always took my online dates to, which you had no way of knowing, but I had this whole system. It was like a mile from my house. So it was easy for me to get there, get home safely. I knew the waiters. I knew the menu. I had this whole system down. And but I had decided like, well, maybe I need to change up my system because it's not working. It hasn't worked. And then so I was like, I'm going to go somewhere else. Oh, and you know what else I used to do? I would always suggest the place, you know, I'm sort of that kind of take charge woman. Why are you laughing?
Because it's true. I don't think our relationship would work particularly well if you weren't.
Really? Somebody has to make the hotel reservations and dinner reservations.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of inertia with me, like kind of whatever direction I'm in, I'm generally content to stay in that direction. So it's good to have someone pushing me around in the sort of, you know, in the physics
motivating
sense.
Can you say it, me?
No, but I mean, your sort of like in the Newtonian physics kind of way, like there's...
That's so hot. Newtonian physics. What?
Short version, I think your willingness not to stay in a comfort zone, either sort of you staying in your own comfort zone or me or our family, I think that has been to all of our benefit.
Oh, thank you. In a way, I look at it as my biggest gift and my biggest fault at the same time. But you're
right.
That's
often kind of the case.
Right? I'm sure that there's a quote in there that I just can't think of right now. But yeah, it's kind of a good lesson, I think, for people in not leaning away from the things that make you you. Because I had this grand plan, like I was going to shift my dating plan and I was being too assertive and always suggesting the place. So I was just going to let the next guy choose and whatever happens, happens. And then you go and say Lola's, which is the same place that I would have picked if I was still driving the train. So it's interesting to see how sometimes fate pushes you in the direction that you're already going. I've talked on the show before about how we really have a 50-50 partnership. And in fact, I was talking with my girlfriends last night. Seth was nice enough to watch the kids while I went and had outdoor drinks with my friends. And I was saying how it really was by design, like the kind of guy that you are and the lifestyle that we've built for me was by design. I don't know how much thought you had put into the kind of woman that you wanted to marry and the lifestyle that you wanted to build. But I was like, they know that I'm not big into chivalry and I'm not big into traditional gender roles. And I think for us that worked. I actually remember visualizing, I was like, what if I could marry a writer and he could like work from home and be an equal partner in raising the kids. And it's kind of weird that here we are. And this is in a way the lifestyle that we've built, but how much of that was by design from your side?
So from a very early age, you know, my parents made sure I knew that men and women were equal. There's this picture of me from my fourth birthday party wearing a t-shirt that says men of quality respect women's equality.
I love that picture of you. It's so cute. You've got your little glasses on and the shirt is like down to the ground, but yeah, that's your foundation.
Yeah. So, you know, I'd say, you know, like some of the big arguments I'd get into with single friends before I met Damona were about like, should guys be expected to pay on the first date? What is the morality involved in engagement rings? Like sort of those.
Wait, you had these conversations with your friends?
Yeah.
Like guys talk about those things?
It was a mix of guys and girls. It was a moral dilemma for me, whether, you know, I felt like I was going to conform to society and buy you an engagement ring, which for me had a lot of complicated symbolism intertwined with it. Mm-hmm. You know, and ultimately it was a case where I knew it was something that was important to you.
Yeah. Well, not even so much because of the diamonds or the investment. It's because what it represents to people outside your relationship as well, right?
So that's never something that I felt sort of pressure, or that's never something that I felt. I never felt, oh, okay, with this ring on her finger, then people will take this relationship seriously. Mm-hmm. But I completely honor the fact that, you know, that women oftentimes get very different social signals than men do.
We did a show before on a woman who proposed to her fiance, and there were a lot of big feelings from listeners on that episode. And a lot of people were really against that idea and also really fight back on a lot of the concepts I say about women taking control of their dating destiny. And so people have asked me, well, why didn't you propose? Cause you know, it took a while. We knew each other 3 years before we got engaged, which in today's time is a long time. I know, we were young. So you really wanted to be ready, huh?
I mean, you were the first woman who I really dated. And so there was, I think, a sense of, is this real love? So I'm a writer and you know, write for TV and think a lot about the messages that popular culture sends to people, both positive messages and more problematic messages. And I think I consumed a lot of, I mean, I as a child, I consumed a lot of television. And the idea of love that was presented to me in those was a sort of idea where love is sort of this all-consuming emotion where you are always like giddy when you're with someone and despondent when you're away from them. And that wasn't how I felt with you. But what I realized was that wasn't because you weren't the love of my life. It was because I had been fed an incorrect idea of what love is.
So what would you say love is now?
I think love is, it has a lot to do with trust. For me, and lack of judgment to some extent, like I trust you completely. And I know that you will sort of approach me at all times with no judgment. And I think that for me is what love is. Hmm. And it doesn't have to do with kind of, yeah, just being miserable when that person isn't next to you.
Yeah, I think that's important to remember. You know, and I often say on the show, you have to have your own life, right? You have to be whole independently, but then better together. And then I also talk about this curiosity that is really what fuels long-term love. Even though I didn't pay you to say trust, that is one of the pillars of long-term compatibility, trust and respect and communication, conflict resolution, shared values, and common goals for the future. So I feel like we have those four things certainly in spades, but this curiosity is something that I really try to encourage the listeners to develop when they're dating, because that was the thing. Like I wasn't sure where it was headed, you know, by date three, but I knew that I was really curious about you and I wanted to understand you more and know how your brain worked. And I feel like that's something that really fuels me to still get butterflies. Like when I know that we have a date planned, you know, and I'll plan now in quarantine, I'll plan dates, you know, 2 weeks out because I'm I want to continue to keep that curiosity and that anticipation alive. But I couldn't have seen this coming. It's a whole other paradigm. How do you suggest, like, based on what you know now and what we've been through, how do you suggest that people keep the magic alive in a time like this? Because we may be in this for quite a few more months.
Yeah. I think part of me wants to know a little bit more about magic. This is going to be this sort of like technocratic version of me that I think sometimes you roll your eyes a little bit. But like, to me, nothing is about it is magic. Like, it's dedicated attention. Like, it's choices. And so, I mean, I think what, like, if the question is, what can you do during a pandemic to keep your relationship healthy? I mean, I don't know that it's much different than what you need to do outside of a pandemic to keep your relationship healthy. I think, you know, the first thing is, I mean, and you spoke about it, is communication and telling your partner what you need and being open to hearing from your partner what they need. And I think, you know, for us, you and I need very, very different things.
Oh, I want to hear what you think, how you see that differently.
I think for your sanity, you need to work out. One thing that you need is either to do yoga or to hop on the Peloton or to do, you know, a Zoom session with your trainer. Like, minus that, you...
I'm a raving lunatic.
you need it. Your mind and your body mm-hmm. needs that to function mm-hmm. at its best. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, I need some amount of quiet time and space to just settle myself with. And quiet time and space is difficult in a house with a very active 6-year-old and a 10-year-old and Zoom school and, you know. And so yeah, I'd say that is the thing for me. Like, for you, I think moving your body is the thing that calms you. I think for me, like, almost like sensory deprivation is something that calms me.
Yeah, that's interesting. I actually was going to say, yes, you're right, moving my body, that's like number one. But I was going to say actually the same thing, that I really need space and I need a certain level of freedom as well. And I think there's like this feeling that if you're in, you know, we're recording this year in my studio, which is like separated from the house, and it's sort of my sanctuary and my quiet place. But if I'm in here, I'm on the grind. I am working, like there's no downtime in here. So that's the space that I feel like has disintegrated in the pandemic, of the just quiet, alone, you know, contemplative planning time. But it's interesting. I mean, I knew that about you, obviously, that you need the space, and that we really problem solve in different ways. But being able to like understand what your partner needs. And for me, I'm always like careful in how I phrase this, because I do take care of my own needs, but I almost think of you first. I almost think of your needs before mine, and making sure that you're that you're happy, you're taken care of, your needs are met. If I haven't done that, like, it just feels selfish to me to just take. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, so I think there's a similar, tell me if you think this is a similar dynamic, but I think, like, if you asked me who sort of does more for the house, I think I'd say you. And I think sort of, and I think you might say me.
Definitely. Like, well, especially right now.
So, I mean, and I think that's part of it. I think, you know, that is one of, for me, it's not something I would have necessarily latched onto before I was in a sort of committed equal relationship. But the, if both sides are feeling like they need to do more, then that you're probably in a pretty good place as a, in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. And even the same thing I tell people on dates, like when I would do mock dates and I would evaluate, and I have a mock dater that would go on a date with my client, and then they'd have a list of qualities or behaviors that they were sort of evaluating them on. And then we would download after. And one of the qualities is how much do you feel like you were talking? That's what I would ask my clients. And I would have the mock dater evaluate how much the person was actually talking in their opinion. And they'd always feel like, oh, I was doing more listening. And I'm always trying to push people more towards listening. And inevitably the ratio would always be flipped. My client would say, oh, I was listening 70% of the time and I was talking 30% of the time. And the mock dater would say, no, they were talking 70% of the time. So, you know, it's always trying to find that balance. But if you feel like you're giving more than you're taking, you're probably in a good place. But, you know, there are people also that are constant givers that sometimes give too much away. So, you know, obviously take this advice with a grain of salt, because you have to find the right balance for you and your partner. And I think that's really what I think the big, I don't know, theme of our relationship is balance. Like so there are times when you're really busy with work or you're on set and I have to be more present with the kids. And then there are times like the last 8 months that I've been insanely busy and that you've been able to step up more. And, you know, there are times when we really need to, like, even just dealing with our families. Like, there are times when you're better at dealing with my mom than I am, and I need your support in that way. But we're always checking in. I think pretty much on a daily basis, we check in and are like, how are you doing?
Yeah.
And I think it's like flossing, which I finally have mastered. Finally got the thumbs up from my hygienist. Like, I've finally done it. But like flossing, it's like a daily practice that you have to be doing with your partner to make sure that you're still on the same page and not headed in different directions. So thank you. Any final words of wisdom or things, tidbits of embarrassing pieces of information you'd like to share about me, or
I don't think I have any embarrassing information, and if I did, I certainly wouldn't want to share it.
You're so sweet.
No, it's lovely being on the show. I mean, in some ways, it's great just to be able to have a conversation with you and know that we're not going to get interrupted by the kids. like it's just been lovely talking to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing my birthday with me. And also I look forward to our birthday getaway. Even in the middle of a pandemic, we can still find time to be solo as a couple. So thank you.
This has been episode number 337 of Dates and Mates. I'm at Damona Hoffman on all of the socials, and we are collecting new questions for the next Dear Damona episode. I humbly and somewhat forcefully ask you to please, if you send me a question, I want to hear your voice. You hear my voice all the time. I want to hear yours. Why not send it to me in a voice memo on Instagram? You can just follow me at Damona Hoffman and then literally hit the little voice memo button and then I will be able to hear your voice and we will be able to put it on the show. Or you can give me a call at 424-246-6255. Of course, if you're shy, you can always email me, but I really encourage you to share your voice with the rest of this community and to share your question, because I'm sure whatever you're feeling, whatever you're going through right now, there is someone else listening to this podcast at this very moment who is thinking and feeling the same thing. So be unafraid to share your story and to get help and love, and you might help someone else. For those of you who are newer to the show who might not know, there's a way for you to get in the inside circle. We have a Patreon Friends with Benefits group, and there's so many benefits for joining this. For just $5, you can, of course, support the show and help us continue to make this show free for so many people who need this love advice. But you'll also get access to my exclusive Facebook group and my weekly Facebook Lives, where I do a behind the mic talk back on everything that I learned from each episode that week and what else I heard that maybe didn't get into the show. And I can also answer your questions. Plus, we have tons of bonus content and library content from Dates and Mates. I've been doing the show for 8 seasons, y'all. 8 years of Dates and Mates. So what you can see on Apple Podcast or on Spotify or on Stitcher is just the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more inside if you sign up at patreon.com/datesandmates. And speaking of all the podcast platforms that you're listening on, don't forget to leave us a review. And I'm just going to leave that part out because it's just getting too long. But maybe we can put that in somewhere else. Until next week, as I mentioned, we will be back with another Dear Damona Q&A episode. I'd love to hear your questions. Until then, I wish you happy dating.